Singapore, Gethsemane Church. When I was before I came, I was given a topic for tonight: cares of this world. Cares of this world. Those of you who are familiar with this phrase, cares of this world, will quickly know that this particular phrase comes from the parable of the sower and the seed. Cares of this world, parable of the sower and the seed. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Okay, we'll look at Mark chapter 4. First reading from verses 1 to 3, okay, Mark chapter 4, 1 to 3, and then we'll move on to 14 to 20, okay, Mark chapter 4, the background, and then the actual parable being expounded by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so we'll read these verses responsively, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 first, then 14 to 20. Right, I shall begin, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he, which is Jesus, and he began again to teach by the sea side. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Then verse 14. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. And when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with rest. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 19 and 20 together. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it became unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit soon. Some 60, some 100. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's look to our Lord for a time of prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word truly guide our lives. And Lord, as we look into this particular topic, cares of the world, Father, we ask that thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher, convict our hearts. Lord, thou knowest the deepest recesses and thoughts that we have, who we are, what we are before thee. Lord, work in us a work of grace this night through thy word, for we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we read the background. Here, the parable of the sower and the seed, it started like that. The Lord Jesus was speaking and a huge multitude came to him. So much so that he had to move away from the seashore, get onto a boat, move further away from shore so that he could address the whole multitude. And the word of God said it was a huge multitude. But the interesting thing is this. We would think that so many people gathering to him, everybody's very interested to hear and to know who Jesus is and to follow him. But not so. The crux of the parable of the sower and the seed was Christ sitting on the ship, actually telling and analyzing the heart of the whole multitude, and actually telling them, yes, so many of you are here, you seem to want to hear me, but let me tell you about your heart condition. What is a parable? A parable has only one key interpretation. Well, you are BP, as BP were well trained. We understand we should read scriptures and understand that scripture has only one meaning. All right? And the key meaning of the parable of the sower and the seed is this. It's about the response of people's heart to the word of God. That is the key crux of the sower and the seed. It's a misnomer. We often say parable of the sower and the seed. We think it's about the sower. We think it's about the seed. Yes, those are present. But the key crux of the this parable of sower and the seed is response of the hearer's heart. So with that in mind, we want to look at this. Why did the Lord particularly spoke about these different grounds? So all these people were there. It's kind of a slap in their face. Christ said, some of you here have stony hearts. So there were three kinds of heart, three bad heart and one good response. One is, it started off, you have stony hearts. You're actually not interested. They were drawn maybe by the crowd, maybe by free food, whatever. They were just drawn. But their hearts were actually hardened. What Christ said is just going to bounce off. Right? Some of us, before we are saved, we might be like that. Or perhaps you might be going through this. Yes, you go to church every Sunday, but you know in your heart is hard, bounces off. The second one, very quickly, before we move to the thorny ground, the second ground is the shallow ground. Some receive the word, oh, very happy. But the word of God says here, we read, that when persecution arises, what happened to these people? They turn away from Christ. They turn away from Christ. You know, it's very interesting. There was once a China preacher. He actually was preaching in China, in the U.S. He was invited to the U.S. to preach. And he said this, we in China suffer great persecution. Reason why many people are not willing to be Christians, because the great persecution is difficult to be a true Christian and people turn away from Christ. This is the kind of ground they talk about. But he said, but you in the U.S., you have a different kind of problem. And you have the problem of the thorny ground. What is this ground? So the third ground was the thorny ground. The thorny ground. And I believe this preacher was really right spot on. The thorny ground heart is this. People that hear the word, very happy to receive it. But thorns grow around their heart. And when the word of God tries to take root, tries to grow, these thorns will begin to choke the growth of the word of God. And then they reject. So you have, in one case, one kind of ground, the stony ground where, the shallow ground where persecution arises, they don't want to follow Christ anymore. But now the very other opposite end is great. All these thorns described as cares of the world, the things of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, pleasures. The opposite thing is the problem in this kind of heart. In developed worlds, in developed countries, certainly in Australia, very often it is not the persecution. You don't have, you have religious freedom, you can go to church very freely, you have many churches. Very often it's the other problem, the thorny ground heart problem, where the pleasures of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, these are the things, the cares of the world, these are the things that become the problem for us. But you say, but preacher, isn't the parable of the sower and the seed about unbelievers? It's only the last ground, the good ground, that is about believers. So does this apply to me? See, the thing is this. You have to understand that as Christians, yes, we are saved. Certainly, I believe and I hope most of us here have come to trust the Lord as your personal Savior. You're saved. You receive the word. But remember this. Our hearts, we are still going through progressive sanctification. The thorny ground, the thorns, the pleasures of the world that once continue to attract unbelievers, will continue to be a problem in our lives too, if you're honest. Right. So I want to look at this particular phrase here. Here we have to remember, here is the Lord Jesus Himself expounding this parable to us. And look at verse 18 and 19. So we get straight to this particular phrase, cares of this world. And these are they, verse 18, these are they that are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful. The title is Cares of the World. So the question is this. What is the care of the world? What are cares of the world? The Lord Jesus Himself says this. Cares of the world are thorns. Thorns. That is the what? They are thorns. And the question, next question is, what effect does it have when we hear God's word and there are thorns around us? What effect does it have? It chokes the word. It chokes the word. What is choke the word? It prevents the word from growing. And what is the end result of these thorns in our lives? The end result is fruits bearing become affected. Right? So what is care of the world? The Lord Himself said there are weeds. See, describe this sower going out to sow. Well, the different ground. And this particular ground was infested with thorns, with weeds. Back then, well, according at least to historical information and Bible dictionaries, said weeds and all that are very common in the region where Jesus was. And typically the farmer, before they go and sow, what they'll do is they'll go out, they'll rake off the top layer, they'll burn off the weeds best they can, and then they begin to plow and then they sow. But inevitably, these weeds, as those of you who have garden will know, their roots also are ready. And as this word of, as the seed is sown, the thorns also start to grow with it, and it starts to choke it. We're just coming here, I was talking about photography with Elder Koh. One of the things that I love to take photograph of is plants. And we don't have thorns like that back in Singapore, but there's one scene that always attracts me is this. Beautiful flowers or plants growing, and then you have weeds growing around them. After a week, you go back. I love to take photo of that. The weed will twirl around this plant, and the leaves cannot open. They cannot receive sunlight, and they will eventually die. And it's very common. I just love this scene. I always want to take it and make it on a slide and say, this will remind me about the weeds. Weeds that will come up in our hearts and begin to choke us. So these thorns, what this particular thorn called cares of the world, this particular thorn, what is it? Let's try to understand from God's word. Okay, look at verse 19. Okay, cares of the world is a thorn, right? Christ himself said, these are thorns. Cares of the world is a thorn. What? Then let's look at this particular thorn called cares of the world. The word care has this connotation. It's wonderful to study the Greek language. I'm not boasting that I know Greek, but what I'm trying to say is the Greek language is also a very picturesque language. It paints pictures in your mind. And this particular word, care, has this picture of division, disunity. Okay, so this care is, what Christ is saying is, this care is about a divided heart. A heart that gets distracted. A heart that is divided. So this care is not about, I care for my children. I care for my parents. Paul himself said, are there many cares of the church that trouble me? Christ said, cast your cares upon me. It's not so much that shade of valid cares in life that Christ said, don't worry, cast your cares on me. Not so much that, but this particular care is something that will actually capture your heart. It draws your heart away. This is the kind of care that Christ here is talking about. Draws your heart away. So this picture, when you read this word, care of the world, what it's trying to say is, it's things that will divide your heart, make you double-minded, and draw and distract your attention away from the Word of God. So this is the care, the meaning of care. And then it says care of the world. It's interesting because this particular parable exists in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When that happens, it kind of signals to us, this is very important. The Lord himself makes sure that this is recorded by all three apostles, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This word world, all right, in Mark it is world. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Mark, Luke, chapter 8. Verse 14. Okay, here is Luke's account of this parable. Let me read to you. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Here, it is cares of this life. Okay, we won't have to turn there, but in the book of Matthew, Mark, in book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and in Luke, Luke also records it as cares of this world. So what is this world life? What is this thorn like? Okay, first we know the one characteristic of this thorn is it distracts you, it divides your heart. But what is it that caused this distraction? What is it that caused this division of your heart? Is the world, cares of the world or life? So when you look at this word, world of life, again, there's a picture. See, these people, when they hear this word, I mean, we are Chinese. Okay, I shouldn't assume. Many of you are, you grew up here. So, you know, in Chinese or in Hokkien or Teochew or Cantonese, you say a word, certain pictures come in your mind very quickly. You know, you get it, you get it. And this is what, when Christ said the thorns of the cares of this world, again, when you hear this word world, there are many words used for the word world in Greek. Okay, one is cosmos, another one is eon or ion. Okay, in this particular case, it's ion. It means age, cares of this age, this particular time. And then when you look at the word cares of this life, what is it about life? Life is about this present existence. Okay, so now we begin to understand, how does this thorn look like? When Christ described the thorns, what is cares of the world? What it is, it divides your heart, it distracts your heart. And it is about one very particular emphasis that Christ was making. You read here, turn to Mark chapter 4 again. Okay, and verse 19. And the cares of this world. Notice the word this is there, this. And world is talking about a time. It's more about, not so much about anything, but it's more like the temporal thing. Now, this world. Christ is not saying, oh, the spiritual, another world, but his emphasis was about the now, your existential focus that has nothing to do with the spiritual world. It's very much about the now. That's all, the now. The now. In fact, if you look at the philosophy of how philosophy changed over time, the Greek philosophies had a great impact on how society changed. Okay, one of the key things, if you're familiar, and those of you who study history, will be a period where existentialism, the concept of existentialism and what you call that, what's this eating thing? Forget the word now. Just kind of, it's about enjoying life now, the now. Don't think about the future. Don't think about after death. Don't think about the spiritual. Nothing to do with that. Just live for now. You know, LG, life is good. That's it. It's about this life now, here. Don't think about anything else. So when Christ was talking about cares of this life and cares of this world, Christ was saying something very specific to the hearers. You are being distracted. Your heart is divided because of the temporal things. So the focus was about time, the temporal life, the temporal life. Instead of thinking about the future life, instead of thinking about the spiritual realm, Christ said these thorns will focus about temporal things. So now we begin to understand, okay, cares of this world means distraction, cares of this world means this distraction are caused by temporal things, not about the spiritual world, nothing to do with that. Then you begin to ask yourself, do I have a thorny heart? Do I have a thorny heart? You know, you have a thorny heart when you begin to exhibit the characteristic of these thorns in your life. Okay? So, well, for one, we can think about the characteristic which is one of division. Your heart, you have a thorny ground heart when you hear God's word. When you have a divided heart, a distracted heart, a distracted heart. Distracted by what? Things that are now, just here and now. So you ask yourself, am I a Christian that lives fully for Christ? Or am I a Christian that lives for the now? I'm distracted by so many things. My heart is always divided. I'm not talking about progressive sanctification. I'm not talking about a Christian as we go through life, we struggle, we want to live holy lives. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a case where you really don't care. I'm divided. Christ said, we are familiar with this statement, you cannot serve God and mammon, two masters, correct? You cannot serve God and mammon. A thorny ground heart Christian will say this, Christ, I know you said that I cannot serve two masters, I know you said I cannot serve God and mammon, but Christ, I can. I really can. I prove to you I can. I can live a life enjoying this world to the maximum, but at the same time, I can be a Christian. A divided heart. Someone who has no compunctions about, I want to enjoy this life to the maximum, a divided heart. So you know you have a thorny ground heart type of mentality when you hear God's word is when you start challenging Christ, why must I live a consecrated life? Christ, why? Can't I live and enjoy my life? That is the charismatic, well, the new evangelical, the charismatic movement especially. When you're converted, they tell you, no need to repent, no need to live for Christ, live as you are, all you need to do is come to church, give money, live as you are. No need to change your life at all. No repentance needed. The heart is very attractive. This message is very attractive to thorny ground heart. Oh, you mean I can be a Christian and no need to actually live a sanctified life? No need to live a holy life? Great. Right? Thorny ground heart. The second symptom that you know if you have a thorny ground heart about these cares of life is when your priority is wrong. Okay, so back to this word cares. Again, it has that picture of time, of prioritizing. You are divided, and then you finally make a decision for something. This cares. Okay, that's another characteristic of this word care. So you know that you are a thorny ground hearer of cares of this world when you exhibit this situation where your priorities are wrong. Why must I go to church camp? Why must I go for prayer meetings? Why must I go for Bible studies? Why must I come for fellowship? Why isn't the whole church here except you all? You know, those behind you say, my priorities are different. I want to enjoy the now life. Instead of here, hey, I can be watching TV, I can go out with my friends, just live for now. Activities that has nothing to do with the other life. Remember, it said this world. In fact, it's very interesting. You turn back to, or just let me read to you, or if you want, turn back to Luke. You see, the King James translators, they are very accurate. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Okay. Now, it says this. Verse 14. It says, notice the word, the pleasures of, or the choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. This is what is in italics, right? In italics. What's the meaning of italics in the Bible when we read it? The italics will tell us this word is added by the translators to make sure that the translation is best and most accurately reflecting. Because you can't do 100% exact word translation in languages, we all know that. And sometimes they'll make sure it's clear, they will edit, but when these translators edit, they have a lot of reverence for God's word. They'll make sure they put italic. This is added by us to make the meaning clear and accurate, because there's no one-for-one word representation. So this word, this is italics. Remember we read case of this world. Okay? In Matthew it's also this world. The emphasis was the temporal, the now, the existential concept. And why did the KJV translator say this life? This life. You see, when they do the translation, they would look. I was quite amazed when I was looking at this afternoon. They understood the word life in this particular case is bios. Okay, life also have many different words that the Greek would use. That's why they always say the Greek language is very precise. When they use a particular word, when Christ says certain thing, the people will straight away know in their mind what it means. Okay, so in this particular case, bios, biology, biography is life. But this particular word emphasizes one thing again. The key focus is about the existential, now, present life. It is not the normal life, but the emphasis now, your life now, okay? So what Christ was saying, there is a kind of life which you really don't care about spirituality, don't care about spiritual things, don't care about anything. It's live life to the maximum. You see some people's funeral, they say, oh, this man live life to the maximum, you know, to the fullest. Nothing to do about anything else but now. So the priority of the this life is like that in a Christian that has thorny ground. It will be, well, my priority to go for, instead of going to church camp, instead of coming for prayer meeting, I prioritize it to enjoy my own holidays, to enjoy my own life. Instead of coming for fellowship, it's the this life. I want to stay home and watch TV. The this life is this life, when Christ said this life, it means nothing to do with spiritual, nothing to do with future, but simply enjoy now. That's what it is. I don't have time to expound this, but the existential concept, okay, the existential concept was a very powerful concept that really changed society and changed men's thinking, where it's about, I live for the now. We think LG, we think life is good, we think all this is a now thing. Epicureanism, that was the word I was trying to find. Those of you who likes cooking, epicurist is what? Someone who really know how to enjoy and taste food. It's all about just satisfying appetite. The sensual appetite, that's all. The Epicurean life, they talk about that, right? Live for now, enjoy now. So this kind of thorny grasp, this cares of the world, the emphasis is basically, at the end of the day, is this. My heart is divided, but actually, I really think I can live a carnal Christian life and still be a Christian. You're divided heart. Okay? And then, the other feature is my priorities. Actually, I really don't feel that I need to be at church all the time. I can have my own personal, you compartmentalize your life. This is my work life, this is my sports life, this is my friends' life, this is my social life, this is my personal enjoyment, holiday life. And then, there is also one part, church life. You have a lot of different priorities, and you will give your priority to everything else that has nothing to do with benefiting your spiritual life. Then you ask yourself, do I have such a life? Then you start going through what you do, how you spend your time. Then you ask yourself, I like to do this. Well, does it contribute to my spiritual life? Actually, it doesn't at all. But I would still want to do this and not go to church. Then you know you're having a problem of existential, now this life enjoyment, which you really don't care whether it contributes to your spiritual life. I just want to enjoy it now. Okay, so this cares of this world, you begin to now have, I hope, have a picture when Christ said cares of this world. This particular thorn that I'm describing to you, cares of this world, is something that distracts you from Christian living. It's something that is just for now and don't contribute to anything in my spiritual life. It's that kind of thorn. That kind of thorn. So you have to now start to look at your own life. And then the other question is this. Maybe some of you here, actually, why are we talking about this? I really don't care. You know, what's the big deal? I want to enjoy my life. I don't even understand why there's a problem with not wanting to live a holy life. No problem. Why must I want to live a holy life? Can't I just be part of fellowship, be part of church, a social thing? And you have no feeling, no compunction, no conviction at all that yes, Christ, you are right. I have a divided heart. Yes, Christ, you're right. Many things in my life is just for the now. Really doesn't contribute to my spiritual life. You have no conviction, no feeling. Christ was referring also to the unbelievers. They say, some of you keep coming to me, but I'm telling you, I'm the physician of your heart. I'm analyzing your heart now, putting a stethoscope to it, and I'm telling you, you have a thorny, ground heart, and you actually do not want to come to me. If you have no conviction at all, you have to ask yourself, am I truly saved? Am I truly saved? Or am I just part of an organization? That's all. Christ was actually referring to those people that are not saved here. But at the same time, he also warns, these very thorns can also affect your life and my life. He said this, don't be caught with surfeiting of this life and the cares of this life. He referred to Christians. You also have cares of this life. Things that will choke the word of God. Then now you ask, okay, Lord, I have a divided heart. I know I shouldn't. Lord, I have been putting a lot of priorities on other things. I shouldn't. I've been, you know, it's sometimes it comes to my mind when I read this. It's almost like, very often we actually dump a lot of fertilizers on thorns in our life. We dump a lot of them. And parents, I don't know about here in Singapore, definitely dump a lot of fertilizers on the thorns in their children's life. They encourage thorns, more thorns to grow in their children's life, then make sure that they grow spiritually. You know, they put so much emphasis on education. Is education wrong? No. But when the feature of the thorn is when it crowds out Christian life. In fact, I have to explain this word choke. These thorns, what does it do? It choke, right? Christ said it choke the word of God. It choke. The word choke here, I'll keep painting pictures to you. The word choke is about like a drowning man. What happens when you drink water very fast? You choke. Right? Choke. This choke is very severe. It's like a drowning man that is overcome by water and he's choking. Overwhelmed totally. Choke. Totally. All the water fill the lungs and everything. Choke. That kind of choke. So Christ is saying, this kind of choke is when it overwhelms you. And there's a problem in Singapore where, you know, owning a big house, owning a big car, being very successful in career, it becomes so overwhelmingly important that it chokes, it overwhelms them, that Christ is very low priority in the Christian life. Is having a big house, a big car, anything wrong? No. In fact, you look at it, you say, where the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasure and the lust of other things. Anything wrong with riches? No. The problem is the deceitfulness of riches. Anything wrong with things? No. It's about the lust of things that's the problem. Anything wrong with education, with riches? And nothing wrong. But when these things act as thorns, means they overwhelm you. Your friendships, your career choices, what you plan for your family. When all these are so overwhelming that it crowds Christ out of your family, of your life, then they are thorns. They are not just riches. They are not just things. They are not just life. But they are thorns. They are thorns. Okay, so now you say, okay, I see all this. I'm convicted, hopefully. Then the question is, so what's the solution? Christ say the solution is a good heart. Right, we read the next phrase. It says, let's look at verse 12. Verse 12. Okay, verse 12. And this is the very interesting part. Okay, Mark 4. Let me turn to my Mark 4. Okay, verse 20. Mark 4, verse 20. What is the solution to getting out of this thorny ground type of response as a Christian? And say, and these are they, verse 20, and these are they, Mark 4, 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as have heard the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Remember I told you that this parable is recorded in all three synoptic gospels. When you study the Bible, make an effort, especially in the gospels. When you see there's a particular area, try and use some tools and find out if they also exist in the other synoptic gospels. It will paint a very nice full picture, and that's how why it's synoptic. It's synergetical. It shows you a very clear picture of what Christ was saying. Okay, so now the question is, how can I have a good heart? All three of the apostles recorded a different facet of a good heart, of how a good heart responds to God's word. And I want to show you from God's word by His grace, what is a good heart and what Christ said was a good heart. Okay, the first thing about a good heart is, turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. The first facet of a good heart, Matthew 13, 22. Because it exists in all three synoptic gospels, we should look at them. Matthew 13, 22. Okay, first facet of a good heart. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Okay, verse 23. Okay, verse 23, Matthew 13, 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and what? And understandeth it. He understands it. So, remember this is the first thing. The first facet is understand. Okay, let's look at the second facet. The second facet is in Mark chapter 4, verse 20. We just read it, Mark 4, 20. Can someone tell me what is the particular facet here? Mark chapter 4. Yeah, he received it. Very good. And then the third facet, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. What is the other facet? Keep it. Very good. So now Christ actually gave a very clear picture to the apostles as they penned the words. Number one is what? Understand. Number two is receive. Number three is keep it. A good heart is like that. A good heart is first, you hear the word, you understand it in your mind. Yes, I want to understand what you're saying, God. You understand it. But that is in the intellect. And then it says, you receive it. What is receive it? You accept it. That is the heart, the emotions, the heart. The heart, you in the mind say, yes, Lord, I know I'm divided. Yes, Lord, my priorities have been wrong. I understand now from your word what is the meaning of cares of this world, the thorn. I understand it. Now, but the second part of a good heart is not just that I know in my mind. The heart now is moved. Yes, Lord, that's me. Your heart, I'm convicted. I understand and I admit. That's why one of the, the last reference, which is, I believe, in Matthew, it's a good heart is also an honest heart. When I say an honest heart, what's an honest heart? An honest heart is one which will say, yes, I'm convicted, I'm wrong. Lord, I admit it. Are you honest? The question is, when God tonight starts to put his finger on your heart, your friendships, how you spend your time, what are your priorities? How you spend your money? How you spend your life? When you start putting his finger in your heart and say, this have to go, are you honest in your heart? Yes, Lord, I receive it. I receive it from you. I receive that rebuke. I want to change. Your heart is moved. But you see, it moves from knowledge, now the heart. But what's the third one? Keep it. You will actually do it. Is action-oriented. You will do it. What's a good heart? A good heart versus a thorny heart is one that, yes, God, I understand your word now. Yes, Lord, I want to be like that. And then, Lord, I will live like that by your grace. It's no use that I'm convicted. Yes, I also know that I'm like that, but I'm like that. Nah. That's all I can do for you, Lord. That's all I want to live. But no, a good heart says, yes, by your grace, Lord, help me to live that life of consecration. Not just live for the now. Remember the word life and world denotes the now life. Nothing to do with spirituality. I just want the now life. I want to go for holidays. I want to do nothing wrong with that. So don't get me wrong. We can't go for holidays. I'm not saying that. But I just want to go and live hedonistically. That's all. I care about satisfying my appetite. That's all. That's all I care about. That is the world. Alright? So the three things must be in place. In fact, what is salvation? Some of you, perhaps in your life, you know, I went through that when I first got saved. Am I really saved? I don't know. And you go back, keep praying the sinner's prayer every day. Am I really saved? I'm not sure. Salvation is this. It is the same. You remember this passage, God, Christ particularly directed it to save souls. He said, look, I'm analyzing your heart. All you thousands of people standing there, I'm on the ship. I'm analyzing your heart now. From stony to shallow, to thorny, which we spend time talking about tonight, and to the good. So Christ was analyzing the heart. And he was talking about salvation. This fruit was talking about fruit of salvation. Right? Fruit of salvation. But now he said, what is salvation? When I struggle with that, then when I begin to read systematic theology books, then I begin to understand. Salvation is, I understand God's message. You can't don't understand, oh, I believe in God. That's all. But what is the plan of salvation? That Christ died for me? I don't care. No, you've got to understand the plan of salvation. So for those of you who are still not very sure, am I saved? You ask yourself, do I understand God's plan of salvation? It is not Christ is anything. You know, Christ, the Zen culture is Christ. God is everything, everywhere. No, that is not the gospel. So you understand the gospel correctly. So you ask yourself, do I know that? The second question is this. What about your heart? Am I moved? Am I moved? I don't know about here. We have many Christian schools in Singapore. Okay, and many of them, you share the gospel with them. Oh, little children like your age. Sorry, I called you a child. You know, little friends of your age. They can tell you the gospel message because they're from Christian school. The mind, they're very clear about the gospel message. You preach to them, well, they can regurgitate the whole gospel to you. But they're not saved because their hearts are not moved. This is Bible knowledge, Bible class. I take an exam, I know it. Oh, but the heart is not moved. But when the heart is moved, there are also some. You preach and say, yes, I want to have Bible study with you. Then Bible study week after week after week, their hearts are moved. But I say, do you want to believe in Christ? Do you want to commit your life to Christ? Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. That last step. They don't understand. They actually want to keep hearing it. But that last step, the will. So salvation consists of the intellect, the emotion, and the will. And you say, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't live that life. But Lord, I want you to be my Savior and my God. The will comes in. Right? So, the mind, the heart, and the will. God, the Holy Spirit, works like that in our life. And the same about the cares of the world. Tonight, the question is this. You understand what is cares of the world? It's division of my heart. It's setting wrong priorities. It's living for the now. You understand? That's the thorn. What about your heart? Do you feel that, yes, actually I've been like that? And then the last question is, are you willing? Now say, Lord, I'm going to prioritize on things that are meaningful, that will contribute to my spiritual growth. Young people, when you choose your university courses, do you even think about, God, is this your will? Or no, I go with the money, I go with the food. Where the money is, that's the course I'm going to take. Do you ever ask, Lord, what is your will for my life? Parents, how do you live your life to your children? If you set priorities that are living for the now, your children are going to live like that. You're basically loading more and more fertilizers in your children's life. Studying more important, don't go for prayer meeting. Studying more important, don't go for Bible studies. You're basically fertilizing the thorns in your life. Where you say priorities in your life is all these worldly things. The now things. Spiritual things are crowded out. Are you parents like that? You have to ask. Are you loading more thorns in your children's life? Okay. And the older generation, myself, like me, I have to ask myself too, am I living for Christ? Or am I just saying, in fact, that was my plan. Before God called me, I said, oh, okay, I'm going to work very hard. I'm going to have a very nice retirement life. I'm going to live somewhere in the bushes and then be very comfortable and just enjoy the rest of my life. Never ask, is that God's will for me? And you say, oh, I want to enjoy the last part of my life. Or is it like, many of the elders that I've seen in many of the BP churches where they give their life. My last few moments, whatever life, whatever health, whatever time I have, I want to use it for God. Are we like that? I close with this particular story that I read. It's a real life story, but I just forgot to chronicle it, keep it. I can't remember. But it is like that. It is a real life conversion of an Indian chief. Okay, the tribe. Indian chief. And this Indian chief, when he was converted, he understood this is the true and living God and he wanted to live for him. So one day, but in his heart, he always knew he was still not living as he should, as a believer of Christ. So one day after praying, he walked to he's the Indian chief. So he had a staff, he had his big feather crown, and so on. So he walked to the forest, he found a tree stump and he put his spear in it. And he say, Lord Jesus, I give this to you. The spear will be the sign of his authority among the tribe. This thing means nothing to me. He plunged the spear in the tree stump. Then he turned around and he walked away. But after 10 steps, his heart started to convict him. He hasn't given his all. It's not consecrated yet. He knew he was still holding back. There are still thorns in his life. Then he say, it's the crown. I still want my pride to be seen as Indian chief. I can give away my physical power and all that, but I can't give away this symbol of my leadership. So if I turn back, he walked back and he took his crown and he put it on the tree stump and said, Lord, I give it all to you. Then he was happy, he walked another 10 steps. But his heart, the Holy Spirit continued to convict him. He knew he was holding back the one thing, the one priority in his life. Number one, himself. Finally, he walked back, he climbed up on that stump and said, Lord, I give you me. Everything to you. No more thorns in my life. So Christian, cares of the world is about a Christian that still want to hold on to this world, this existential life, not willing to say, Lord, I am yours. All yours. All yours. Take me, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. The life. The life. Cares of this life or cares of another life, the Christian life? That is the question I leave with you. Which do you want to live for? Let's do God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we know that you see all our priorities. We can act, we can pretend, put on a show before men, but you know, Lord, our deepest thorns, deepest desires, the very one thing that we are not willing to give up to you. Father, we pray that this night you would send your Holy Spirit to convict us, work in us. Lord, it is only you that can work in us both to will and to do. We pray, Lord, that whatever resistance we may have, we pray that you will overcome it and make us obedient, responsive to your Holy Spirit. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask and for his glory. Amen.
Thank God for the word. In closing, let us sing number 70.